The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Let's talk about vaccines, though. As Eamon mentioned in the news headlines, a decision made in the UK to offer an alternative vaccine to the AstraZeneca jab for people under the age of 30. This comes as the EU health ministers begin a vaccine rollout meeting on the back of the EMA's advice that blood clots are a side effect, a very rare side effect, but a side effect nonetheless of the AstraZeneca vaccine. For more on this, we are joined by Gabriel Scally, the public health physician and professor of public health at the University of Bristol. Yeah, Gabriel, it's always good to speak to you. We appreciate your time. I know you were monitoring this very closely today, these developments. Let me ask about the EMA decision today. Not entirely unexpected, given what we've heard from some members of the EMA in recent days, but a blow to AstraZeneca nonetheless.
Well, I think the whole thing is a blow to AstraZeneca in one sense, in that it's not good to have found some adverse effects, and they're the only vaccine really so far that has been associated with side effects. And of course, at the moment, we're only talking about possible side effects and at a very, very low level. But nonetheless, it's unfortunate. But I mean, the good bit about it is that it shows that there is a surveillance system there that can pick up side effects even when they occur very, very rarely. So that's the good bit of it. But some concern, I think, for AstraZeneca coming out of it.
The decision in the UK we'll talk about in just a moment, but just in terms of the likelihood of side effects, did we get any more detail on when they're likely to occur? Because I'm struck there's lots of people listening to this who maybe have their first AstraZeneca jab and they're worried now about getting the second.
Well, the UK gave quite a lot more detail than the EMA gave in their briefing, at least. And they, in the UK, they reported that they'd had 79 cases reported of this venous clotting problem. And of those 79, that resulted in 19 deaths. So that's about 4 cases of the problem in every million doses. But it's very much age related, with the chances of someone having a serious side effect, the venous thrombosis one, in someone aged 20 to 29 being 1 in 100,000 compared to 1 in 500,000 if you happen to be 60 to 69. But to put those in context, I think particularly for older people, those in the 60 to 69 age group have something like a 70 or 80 times more chance of a really serious illness from the virus. So, and being admitted to an intensive care unit. So the benefit is still very, very heavily in favor of vaccination, but particularly in the older groups. When you get to the younger group, it's not quite as clear at all.
Okay, so for people, like I said, who are listening to this and who've got the first one, and maybe they are worried about the second one, if they are in those older groups, the message still quite clearly is take that second vaccine.
Well, that is the message. And the UK reported 79 cases, as I've said, and they were all after the first dose. Now, that says something, but the UK hasn't completed a huge number of second doses, but they've done a lot. But all of those cases were after the first dose.
Okay. So we would hope, we don't know the full story yet, but we would hope then that you're out of the woods by the time you get to the second dose. The decision then in the UK to offer an alternative to people under the age of 30, an alternative to AstraZeneca, is that the right decision?
I think it probably is. When you look at the data, the chances of having a serious side effect are actually, it depends on the level of the virus. Now, if there's a lot of virus around, of course, you're better having the vaccine. But if transmission rates are low, and in the UK they are getting very low, well, in that case, you are five times more likely to get a serious side effect from the AstraZeneca vaccine than you are in getting the virus, your chance of getting the virus and getting a serious side effect. So if you're offered a choice at that age, and that's what they're going to do, it's absolutely the right thing to do it, to have a different vaccine.
So should regulators here possibly go down the same route? Is that something we should consider?
Well, I certainly think it should be considered. Clearly, the UK has looked at this in some detail, and I think their judgment is correct on this. It does, of course, depend on whether you have other vaccines available and how they're going to be used. And over time, the AstraZeneca vaccine may be reserved for older people where there is a lower risk of side effects. But at the moment, I think Ireland and I think all of the European countries will look very closely at the two reports, one from the European Medicines Agency and the other from the regulatory body in the UK, and what the outcome of those is. Because the decision in the UK is quite an important one, I think, and it is really, and they are lucky that they don't expect there to be any interruption in the vaccination program. It'll be entirely possible to offer everyone under 30 who needs a vaccine, a different type, and that's a very good, fortunate position for the UK to be in. But I think other European countries will be looking at that age group in particular.
Yeah, but one would suspect though there mightn't be much disruption to the rollout here if an alternative was offered either, because people under the age of 30 will only be offered the vaccine at the moment if they are particularly vulnerable. The overwhelming majority of people under the age of 30 won't be getting it until summer, when we will, you would imagine, have an abundance of vaccine available.
Yes, and the Moderna vaccine has just been approved, and that's another one, and there are more coming. I think what it will interrupt a little bit is that there were trials taking place with the AstraZeneca in 18 and unders, or under 18s, to see if there was a vaccine suitable for children. Those trial, the major trial has been paused now, and I'm not sure it will resume now. So it may have the knock-on effect of delaying a vaccine available for children. But again, there are others looking at the same issue.
Yeah, I know Pfizer have been looking at that issue, and they've had some promising results, certainly when it comes to teenagers. I think the older age group when it comes to children is who they've looked at. First, can I ask you about advice in the UK from Sage that I think maybe caught a few people by surprise, given that the pace of the vaccine rollout there and what a success it has been in the United Kingdom, about the possibility of wearing masks until New Year's?
Yeah, Sage, the official government advisory body, I think clearly understands what's going on, and things are changing around the world. I think the huge burst of optimism, and rightly so optimistic about vaccines. The vaccines are absolutely, absolutely wonderful, but they're not a cure-all. And as the variants continue to spread, and in the absence, and I know it's a thorny issue in Ireland, in the absence of countries actually putting in place, managed isolation for everyone entering the country, and the UK is resistant to doing that as well, the variants are making their way steadily to the UK. And we do know that some of them have the ability to dodge the vaccines to a lesser or greater extent. And people, when that really does kick off, if it does kick off, well, then you can't be sure that your vaccine will protect you. And you've got to rely on the social distancing stuff. And I think the UK will have to look again at doing something about ventilation and spacing of schools out and all of those old-fashioned things that we know work, because we know air and outside is good, and closed places and no ventilation is bad. And that's not going to change just because we've got the vaccine.
Because that Sage advice, it seemed a little incongruous to me when I read the front page of the Irish Times today, which reported that NPHET were going to consider relaxing mask wearing requirements for vaccinated people here.
Yes, and I do think we're not taking it seriously. Look, if you look at two places, if I contrast Israel and Chile for you, Israel has done phenomenally well, highly vaccinated, except in the occupied territories and with Palestinian populations. But amongst the Israeli citizens, they have a huge vaccination program. But they haven't relaxed their mask wearing. They're only starting to relax mask wearing outside, and there's no word of them starting to relax it inside. Chile, on the other hand, not such a great vaccine record, but still 20% or thereabouts. And they took their foot off the brake, relaxed lots of things, and they're having a huge wave and huge problems in their hospitals. So there is a balance, and I think WHO have started talking about this in the last days, that vaccine's not going to solve everything, and we will need those public health measures still in place.
All right. Listen, can I ask very briefly then before I let you go about some of the noise that's been made around outdoor activity here as well over the last 24 hours or so. Again, a story that was reported in the Irish Times the evening before last, about 0.1% of cases being traced back to outdoor activity. Now, the HSE pushed back very strongly on that yesterday, as did various ministers, including Michael McGrath, on this show. It hasn't stopped calls from different industries, though, to be allowed to open safely but sooner. And even from some public health experts as well, who say, look, while there may be a bit of a caveat or an asterisk beside those numbers, it is safer outdoors than indoors. And maybe our public health advice should pivot to start focusing on what people can do as opposed to what they can't.
I think there's some truth in both of those arguments. Firstly, the evidence about the spread out of doors being very limited has really been developed during the pandemic, when we haven't been encouraging people to be meeting up outdoors or gathering in crowds outdoors. So it's no wonder that there's very limited spread. But on the other hand, there is no doubt at all that outdoors is better than indoors, that we should be spreading out more, we should be doing more things outdoors that we're currently doing indoors. So there is a balance to be struck. And when we are out of doors, you know, we've also got to reinforce the message. Well, even if you're out of doors, you don't stand directly opposite someone and start singing songs together or shouting or laughing loudly at each other, because it doesn't matter if there's a breeze. If you spread enough virus out of you, well, someone will get affected. So there needs to be a common sense approach adopted to this. But it is good news. Outdoors is good. But the fundamental message is air that is good and movement of air. And we really shouldn't have people going into workplaces or schools or universities without good ventilation of fresh air.
All right. Well, listen, Gabriel, we appreciate your time. As always, Gabriel Scally, the public health physician, and he's professor of public health at the University of Bristol.